The sermon text is the first lesson from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. Jacob set out from Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. He came to a certain place and decided to spend the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from that place, put it under his head, and lay down to sleep in that place. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. There were angels of God ascending and descending on it. There at the top stood the Lord, who said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying I give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back again into this land. Indeed, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he said, "Certainly the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awe-inspiring is this place! This is nothing other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven." The word of the Lord. We read responsively Psalm 73. "I am always with you, O Lord. You hold me on my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." A lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice confidently on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. Not only this, but we also rejoice confidently in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For at the appointed time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. It is rare indeed that someone will die for a righteous person. Perhaps someone might actually go so far as to die for a person who has been good to him, but God shows his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, it is even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, it is even more certain that since we have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And not only is this so, but we also go on rejoicing confidently in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received this reconciliation." The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It must have been an awfully uncomfortable night's sleep for Jacob, and not mostly because he was using a rock as a pillow, and not mostly because he was sleeping on the ground in the desert, but it must have been a really tough night's sleep for Jacob because of what he had done and what the Lord could now do to him. So the Lord had given this man, Jacob, a lot of privilege in his life. He gave Jacob the advantage of being born into the family that was carrying all of God's great promises, the family that would develop into the nation of Israel, that would conquer the beautiful promised land that Jacob was sleeping on that night, the family that would be a blessing to everyone in this world because it was carrying the Savior with it. Jacob was blessed to be born into a family that knew the Lord, loved the Lord, where he could learn about the Lord and his commandments. That was a tremendous amount of privilege that God had given him. And it didn't even stop there, because God had also told Jacob that it was going to be through his side of the family and his descendants that God was going to make good on all of those promises, and not through his older brother Esau. And that was a very rare privilege in Jacob's world, for the younger brother to get to inherit all of the good stuff rather than the older. So, how did Jacob respond to all of these undeserved blessings that God had given him? How did he return the favor for all of this rich, undeserved privilege that he had received? Well, he started by stealing the inheritance from his older brother Esau rather than just letting God work that out. And then he lied like a rug to his father Isaac to deceive him into getting the special blessing in place of Esau instead of letting God do that in his own time and his own way. See, Jacob didn't really trust God to keep his word, so he was always taking matters into his own hands and doing whatever it took to force things to happen. And the result of all this cheating and lying and conniving was that his father Isaac was angry with Jacob. And his older brother, his twin Esau, was more than just angry with Jacob. He was homicidal toward Jacob. So Jacob had to run away from home to save his own life. And now here he is, sleeping on the ground in the desert, running for his life because of all of his disobedience and his lack of faith. But for a moment, let's forget about how other human beings feel about Jacob at this moment. Let's forget about his brother and his human father, and let's ask ourselves this question: how do you think Jacob's heavenly father was feeling about him as he slept in the desert that night? Here is the man that you piled on privilege for, that you gave every possible advantage, and he responded by treating you and treating your will like trash. Must have been a really uncomfortable night's sleep for Jacob that night, because he had to be wondering, as he drifted off to sleep that night, if maybe God hadn't finally had enough of him. Maybe God's patience hadn't finally run out. As he drifted away to sleep, he had to be wondering if maybe God was finally going to pull the plug on all of those beautiful promises that he had made to Jacob. Or maybe even worse than that, maybe God was just going to zap him with lightning in the middle of the night. He was so angry with Jacob. And of course, you can't exactly run away from God the way you can run away from your dad and run away from your brother. You can't escape from God. He's everywhere. Jacob had to be wondering, am I still connected to the Lord? Does he still love me? Do his promises to me still stand? Are they still in effect? Now, I totally understand that words like privilege and advantage are politically loaded right now, and I am about to call you a privileged person. But when I do that, please do not think in terms of money or social connections or educational access. I'm sure that some of us here this morning are privileged in those areas of life, and if that's you, great. Thank God, use it well. My point is this: regardless of how much money you were or were not born into, and regardless of what schools you had access to, you are a remarkably privileged person, because God has given you a gift that most people in this world do not have, and it's more valuable than all of those other privileges combined. He has given you faith in your Savior Jesus. And for many of us here this morning, God has been piling on even more spiritual privileges for us throughout our lives. Many of us here had the privilege, the advantage, of being born into a Christian family where the Holy Spirit gave us that gift of faith in Jesus at a very young age. And then we had the opportunity to learn about Jesus' love and his word through Sunday school and catechism class, and We've had opportunities throughout our life to continue learning and growing in God's Word. Some of us have had the advantage of worshiping together with our fellow Christians for decades now. And if you're a member of this congregation, you have the blessing of being part of a fellowship, a family of congregations that takes God's Word seriously and strives to preach it and teach it in its truth without inserting political opinions and personal agendas. And believe me, not all Christians are so blessed right now. A lot of Christians are getting more opinion of men than Word of God. We are richly blessed, spiritually privileged by God. We all have the gift of faith in Jesus, and for many of us, God has just been piling on a ridiculous and embarrassing amount of spiritual advantages throughout our lives. So, how have you and I responded to all those undeserved blessings, those spiritual advantages that God has given us? Have I used the knowledge of my salvation? Have I put that to work by living joyfully for the Lord, serving Him with joy in my life? Have I used my knowledge, my understanding of God's commandments to serve Him faithfully in every avenue of my life? Am I taking advantage of the opportunities I have to learn and study and grow in God's Word? Am I working to pass Jesus' love down to the next generation, over to my neighbors who may not know their Savior has done for them? Our Savior Jesus said, "To whom much has been given, much will be expected." God has given us a lot in the way of spiritual blessings. And like Jacob, we don't always respond to all of that privilege with the kind of faith and the kind of service that God desires from us. Sometimes we respond to all of those blessings with lack of faith, with disobedience. And you know, because of that, we also deserve to lay down our heads on our own pillows at night, uneasy. Based on our disobedience, our lack of faith, we have every right to drift off to sleep at night wondering if maybe God has had enough of us, if maybe He hasn't pulled His connection away from us, if His promises to us are still standing. Now, as Jacob was sleeping on the ground in the desert, the Lord answered all of those questions for Jacob in the most beautiful and really artistic way. Jacob had a dream of a stairway that was connecting the ground where he was sleeping to God and the kingdom of heaven. Angels were walking up and down the stairway. The Lord Himself was standing at the top and speaking. And the central message of the whole dream was this: Jacob, I'm still here with you. We are still connected. I gave you so many good things that you did not deserve. And in return, you treated me and you treated my will like trash, but I'm still here, I still love you, and we are still connected. Not only that, Jacob, but all of those great promises that I made to you, they are still standing too. They are still in effect. You will still become that great nation. Your family is going to inherit the land that you are sleeping on right now, and every person in this world is going to be blessed through that family. And it's to that last promise that you and I especially need to open our ears. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. There's only one thing that the Lord could be talking about there. There's only one way that Jacob's family has been a blessing to every human being, past, present, and future, and that's through the Savior that came from Jacob's family. The cross of that Savior, Jesus Christ, is our connection to our Heavenly Father. Because that Savior did come through Jacob's family, we are still connected, and we always will be. Because of Jesus' suffering on that cross, God is linked to us again. The cross of Christ still stands, and we are still connected. You know, it is likely that you will never have a dream of a beautiful stairway connecting your bedroom to the kingdom of God and see the Lord standing on the top of that stairway repeating all of the promises that He made to you. But but your connection to God, to his heavenly kingdom, and all of the eternal promises that he makes to you is just as real and just as lasting as Jacob's was. Because the cross of your Savior is that connection. It stands now, it always will, and you remain connected. In the book of Genesis, the entire story of Jacob's life covers only a few pages. And if you were to sit down and read the entire account of Jacob, which could easily be done in just a few minutes, you'll find that Jacob's life divides very cleanly into two halves. And this dream of the stairway to heaven is the dividing line between the two parts of Jacob's life. Prior to the dream of the stairway, Jacob is basically a rotten person. He is a man who enrages his own family with lying and cheating and stealing. He's violating the Lord's will up and down, left and right. He doesn't trust God to keep his promises, so he's just always taking matters into his own hands and forcing things to happen. And then there is post-stairway Jacob, where it is easy to see that he's a different person. Now, he's not perfect after he has this dream. He still has his little hiccups here and there, but he is definitely changed. You can see he is now a person who understands all of these great advantages, these blessings that the Lord has given him, and he is now determined to use them and use them faithfully in God's service. He's a man of greater faith and more faithful service. So, to whatever extent you and I have not been putting God's spiritual privileges and his blessings to work, let's be different people, improved people going forward. He has blessed us richly for our souls. He's given us his own son. He's given us all kinds of opportunities to worship and to study his word. And most importantly, he has given us the enduring connection of Jesus' cross. So as we go forward in our lives, let's be people of greater faith and more faithful service too. Because in Christ, we are still connected. Amen.